The Hard Shoulder with Ciara Kelly and Shane Coleman on News Talk.
With the MG Hybrid and Electric range.
Now, earlier this month, a report from the ESRI found that we are lagging considerably behind our targets for decarbonising residential heat. And since then, we have also heard that the cumbersome nature of applying for grants to retrofit homes is putting some people off. So is this system of retrofitting fit for purpose, or is it actually failing? Eamon Ryan, former leader of the Green Party, joins us to discuss. Good evening to you, Eamon.
Good evening, Ciara.
I read with great interest your piece today in the Irish Times, and you basically said that you know, you, I think, were disappointed with I suppose, the narrative that was coming out last week or the week before, where you said people were questioning whether or not the system of retrofitting was actually failing or whether it was even worth doing in the first place. Explain for listeners who might not have read you what your, I suppose, feelings on what has been said by the ESRI are.
Well, I thought their report paper, it didn't bring new research, it was just a review of the system, was incredibly negative and would leave you thinking that it's all going to the hell in a handcart and we're not any good. And the truth is, we're actually incredibly good at this. Like, the numbers of people who've got deep retrofitted between 2019 and 2024 increased tenfold. The European Union does a league table. They measure each different countries. And when it comes to domestic energy efficiency improvements, we're number one. There are difficulties in terms of it. Sometimes it can be very complex. Sometimes it can be expensive. But I think we need to listen to those households who've had it done. And I don't think where they've retrofitted, you put in insulation or you put in proper heating system or they wouldn't go back. That, you know, living in a warm home is an incredible advantage. It's an incredible gain for your health, for the enjoyment of living in the home, and the value of the home goes up too. So, yes, I thought the ESRI analysis risked us getting into the territory that we can't do anything, that we get frozen by fear, that we're not good at anything. It's not true. We're actually doing well in this space. Yes, we need to do more. Yes, we all need to go further. Yes, you can never be happy. We have a real challenge in meeting our climate targets, as one example, but also now, like, stopping the use of fossil fuels because of this, again, yet another war based on fossil fuels. Are fossil fuels being used as a weapon in the war? So we need to go faster and further. But if you start by thinking we're hopeless and we can't do it, then I think you might give up. And the facts of how successful we've been about rolling out retrofitting in the country actually need to be told. And that's why I was writing about it.
Yeah, and I was very interested in what you said. You said two things. You said one was that people might think that it was failing, and you're highlighting the fact that, you know, people are retrofitting. But the other thing was that people might think it wasn't worthwhile doing and that people might lose public confidence. Can I just play a little clip of someone we had on 2 weeks ago on the show, architect Claire McManus, about this ESRI research? And this is what she had to say about people's energy usage.
On a case-by-case basis like that, the people living in the home will notice the big difference. The home will be much warmer, less drafty, etc., etc. But statistically, the A-rated home uses the same energy as the G-rated. And I suppose the theories for that are to do with maybe people get used to living in kind of more warmth, or perhaps, you know, people in A-rated homes generally have more disposable income to spend.
The ESRI report did say that people were using the same energy, but they said in some cases people were actually using more energy after a retrofit. And when you said in your piece today, what jumped out at me, that this ESRI research could in fact damage public confidence, I would have to say to you, yes, because it's completely damaged mine. Because I, first of all, I'm not imminently about to retrofit my house for the reasons of the cost involved. But my understanding was always that if I did retrofit it, I would reduce emissions, but also I would claw, maybe slowly, but I would claw back the cost of doing it over time through savings on my heat bills, etc. The ESRI is saying that's not what's happening. People's heat bills haven't gone down. They've stayed the same, or in some cases gone up, which made me think, Eamon, if I spent 100 grand on retrofitting my house, and my house is 1882, it's a terrible BER, it would cost a fortune to retrofit it. And then I didn't even save any money. I'm thinking to myself, I could just put on a jumper.
But well, hold on a second now. Well, firstly, a lot of people do save money, and different houses are different, and people may, as I said. But actually, what we're talking about here is if we're saying, oh, it's nothing changes, those people in a G house spending the same amount, they're living in the bloody freezing cold.
I am that person.
I'm sorry. I mean, that's a miserable bloody existence. I mean,
it's not quite as bad as all that, but it is cold.
It's not like you're comparing apples and oranges. You're comparing it with someone who's living in a miserable house.
It's an awful lot of money to spend to save no money down the line and just be marginally warmer. Wrap up, lads.
Well, hold on a sec. I think you do save. There may be some who don't, but they'll come around to it, hopefully. But secondly, where you own your own house, actually the value of the house goes up. So actually, the money you've put in, you'll get back when you get to sell the house. I think what the really key issue, though, is on another aspect, what the SRI talked about, is about those on lower incomes who can't afford. And there was a Trinity study out as well recently saying that it's advantage towards the better off. Mm-hmm. We have a project in this country. We have a mechanism in our country that manages that. It's called a carbon tax. Now, a lot of people in politics hate it. They use it as a political tool to say, oh, it's the worst thing ever.
Government is backing it currently.
It is. And the reason they're backing it, because it works. And it works in this way. It's raising about $1 billion a year. And it goes up each year, so the industry knows we're going to get more money. More than half the money goes into retrofitting grants to the public.
Okay.
And more than half of that goes to the poorest houses, the lowest income in the country.
And they get 100%
grant. And the advantage, if we don't lose confidence in this, which I do think that report risks.
I have completely shelved the idea in my own head.
And I think a lot of people are in the same way of thinking. I think that's a mistake. Because if we keep going with what's working, we know in a number of days, it'll take 2 or 3 decades, but we would live in a country then where every single house is properly insulated for the climate we live in, which will still be cold, even with global warming. And that is a mechanism that addresses fuel poverty. It protects us against wars in the Middle East or elsewhere, the Russians switching off the gas and so on.
And I see the insecurity.
As well as proving our health and the environment. There are so multiple wins that actually that kind of analysis, oh, we're bad at this, we should give up, it doesn't work. It does work.
I wasn't bothered about we're bad at this, but I was bothered by you're not going to save any money, you're not going to reduce your emissions, you're going to spend hundreds of thousands of euros or hundreds of billions of euros as a country, and we're all going to have slightly warmer homes and we're all comfy now.
No, it's a different world.
But it doesn't actually help us in terms of climate.
You talk to anyone who comes down in the morning in their pyjamas and the house is still warm from the night before and you can put on the kettle without feeling bloody freezing.
That's a different home. Can I also put to you that yesterday we had Minister for Higher Education in studio with us. Now, he wasn't on about any of this, Eamon, but he was talking about energy because of all the conversation, exactly as you've referred to do with oil and energy crises and all of that and fossil fuels. And he said, I think one of the things we have to consider is nuclear. It always has struck me in this country, it's up there with things like neutrality, that we aren't even allowed to talk about nuclear here properly because we're not allowed to debate it because it's sort of a sacred cow that we don't want it, even though there are so many people when we have them in studio who are experts who say it is more reliable than other things. It's a low carbon energy source. It enhances energy independence, security. It's safe. Its waste is fully managed and it would give us energy sovereignty and security and independence that we simply don't have now.
All those are true, but there's one other caveat. It's expensive. It's really expensive. It would be twice the price of the renewable power we can turn to. We need to lower the cost of electricity because we're going to use electricity for our transport system, mm-hmm. for heating our homes, as well as for the industries, digital and others. So we have to get the price of electricity down. If you went nuclear, I wouldn't rule it out. I wouldn't say it should be.
Those small modular reactors, though, they are much, much cheaper.
The best energy analysis says they'll only start coming in next decade, if then, early as the earliest, and they will still then be twice the price of the renewable alternative. That's the best independent energy analysis.
But the difference is, and I think it's fair to say, that the renewables are intermittent. The sun, they're weather dependent. The sun shining, the wind blowing.
But there's a revolution happening, and it's not just renewables, it's also the battery storage backup systems. And when we go with renewables and use batteries as a storage system, that will give us the most competitive, the cheapest and the most affordable power for our
people.
What
about the fact that things like uranium are such high energy density products that tiny, tiny amounts of them produce massive, massive amounts of energy.
So the footprint
in terms of land and in terms of all of those things is much better than renewables.
True, but it's still twice the price. And we know that because the UK are going to nuclear as well as renewables. And they do public open auctions on. So this is a very transparent way where you get a real test in this part of the world. What's the cost of nuclear power? The price is twice the price. And that's not...
Okay,
that's why
explain to me then one last question for you. If that is all the case, and I'm not arguing that it's not, you're more expert in this than I am, but France, who have used lots of nuclear energy, their price of electricity is much cheaper than ours. So if it's so expensive, how are those who are already using it charging its consumers less?
Because they've already built and paid for it. They've depreciated those 60 gigawatts of nuclear plants. They were built 30, 40 years ago. So they're not having to build them new. And they're going to run them probably for an additional 20 years longer than they originally thought, because that will be a cheaper way of doing it. But we don't have existing. We've no expertise, no knowledge. We do have knowledge in the renewable side. And
but we can gain knowledge, Eamon. That's not it. That's not that hard.
The price of the Irish consumer, and actually the real revolution in the world that's happening, €2 trillion globally were spent in the renewable alternative last year, compared to fossil €1 trillion. Nuclear is small, it's a couple of hundred billion. The world is moving towards a cleaner energy system. The first thing we need to do, though, no matter whether you use nuclear or whether you use renewables, the first thing you do is, it's like filling a bath. The first thing you do is you put the plug in. The first thing you do is you stop the waste of electricity and our energy. And that's why energy efficiency is important. And that's why retrofitting your house makes such sense. The first thing you do is make efficient the use you have. Right. And I believe that actually is, and that's working for households across the country. We should keep with it. And I think it'll be renewable powered with that, and also with interconnection, including some French and British nuclear that we'll be importing. That's that, but at least is a price which we can afford rather than twice the price of the alternative.
Eamon Ryan, former Green Party leader, thank you very much for joining us.
The Hard Shoulder with Ciara Kelly and Shane Coleman.
With the MG Hybrid and Electric range.
Weekdays at 4 on News Talk. Conversation that counts.